Honor and a privilege to be here. This is, when I was in college here, this was the absolute last place that I ever expected to find myself. Some 10 years after I graduated, Lord's been good. He's been blessing as we've been going through our ministries. As Pastor Damon said, we were out with Pastor Dave Dunbar for about 10 years and worked with the youth program. We've got one of our teenagers that was in our teen group, Sarah Finster, here, is in the college now, and it's neat to see, come back, see old faces that look older. There's a lot of faces that I'm looking at people and I recognize them, but I don't remember names. And so if I come up and say, it's good to see you, and I don't say your name, it's because I don't remember. So I apologize for that, but we are excited about being here. You can be turning in your Bibles to Philippians chapter 4, and while you're turning there, what I'm going to do is give you a little bit about the Courier's ministry, what the Lord's done in our life, and why we are where we are today. When my wife and I were in college, I spent, as Pastor Damon said, I spent 6 months over in Zambia, Africa with Pastor Brennan Stahl. I shocked one of the college students. There was one of the girls here from Zambia, and I greeted her in Tonga. I don't think that's the language that they speak where she's from, but it caught her off guard having some blonde hair, white guy come up and greet her in Tonga. So she responded well. And so, but I was able to be over there with him, came back to school, was planning on going out into missions. That was not what the Lord had for me. And he took us out to work with Pastor Dave Dunbar as his assistant pastor, working mainly with the youth group. And the Lord worked in our lives. We were planning on staying there and potentially taking the church there from Pastor Dunbar when he stepped down. But again, that was not what the Lord had. The Lord began to lead and direct and guided us into the Courier's ministry. Basically, what the Courier's ministry is, it started in 1979 by a fellow by the name of Brother Don Sturts. Don Sturts founded the ministry. His brother Ken Sturts later joined him. And then my dad, Larry Ingalls, joined. And the goal of the ministry when it first started out was to get scriptures into communist Eastern Europe. At the time, you could not openly get scriptures in, and so they had to smuggle scriptures in into the Eastern European countries. And we actually, just on this last campaign that we had in June, we ran across a guy that was a driver for one of our campaigns that we were running, and he said, someone used to come by and drop off Bibles at our house. I remember, as a child, someone sneaking in at night. They would drop off a small pack of Bibles, and we would hide them and distribute them out to the churches. And so there are still remnants of what Couriers did when it was under communism. But as communism came down, things began to open up. We began to be able to ship full container loads of Scripture. Since 1979, Couriers has shipped over 83 containers into Eastern Europe containing 345,000 Bibles, over a million New Testaments, over 18 million John and Romans, over 50 million tracts, plus another 2.7 million of study literature that has gone into, there's over 30 different countries throughout Eastern Europe today and 16 different languages. And so we've done a lot, but there's still a lot that needs to be done. And so Couriers got into shipping the materials over there, but then as the scriptures would get there, if you get a large container load of just, say, 10,000 Bibles, how long is it going to take your church to distribute 10,000 Bibles? It's going to take a while. And so the need for the word to get out, they began to realize that. And so they began doing campaigns. And basically what the campaigns are is we will take a group of 20 to 30 people from across the United States. We just did one in June to Budapest, Hungary. And we had people from North Carolina, from Minnesota, from New York, all across the United States that came together, met in Chicago. We flew over, and we just blitz an area. We pass out anywhere from 10 to 12,000 John and Romans and invitations a day, passing them out, inviting people out to come to a special meeting at the end of the week to be able to receive their very own Bible. Now, for you, that might not be that big of a deal if someone offered you your own whole Bible. But over in these countries, even though communism is quote-unquote down, it's still difficult to get Bibles in these countries. And so most of them have never held their own copy of the Scriptures. And so we will have anywhere from, we've had as little as 100 people show up, we've had as many as 1,200 people show up just to receive a Bible. When they come to the meeting, we preach the gospel to them, we have some singing, and then afterwards, we ask them to fill out a card to be able to receive a Bible. on the card. It's their information as to where they live, their phone number, and if they're interested in a Bible study. When we go over, we don't just go to any random town. We try to find a missionary that's already there, that's already established, that is either ready to start a work himself or has a national that's ready to take a new church. And we will come in, we will work with that missionary side by side. The missionary is the one that handles the meeting. He's the one that they're going to have to deal with after we leave. And so we want him to be the face of what's going on. And so then after we take off, that missionary gets those follow-up cards and has a basis of people that are interested in the Word of God, that are interested in Bible studies, to try and be able to begin their work. And so as I preach our message tonight, I'm going to be talking a little bit about the Courier's ministry. But one of the things that I'd like to encourage you, if you've not been on a missions trip, Pastor Dammer and I were talking about this at lunch a little bit today. If you've not been on a missions trip, it will change your life. You will not come home the same. I have never heard anyone come home from a missions trip and say, well, that was a waste of money. Well, that was a waste of time. I've heard people come back from vacations and say that. I've heard of people dropping a lot of money down on a car and say that, but I've never heard someone come back from a missions trip and say, well, that was a waste of time. And so I encourage you, get on a campaign. Get over and see a missionary. It doesn't have to be with a Courier's ministry. We make it easy. We do all the planning. You can come join a group. We get everything laid out. You stay in a hotel. We eat at restaurants. We don't want to be a burden on the missionary, but because of that, it's an expensive trip. It costs anywhere from $2,100 to up to $3,000 to go over, but that takes care of your flight over, your flight back, and all of your expenses while you're in the country. All of your meals, all of your housing. If you want extra spending money, that's up to you, but it gets you there, gives you an opportunity to get out and pass out the word. When we were over there, I went over last year to Moldova, getting ready to go over to Romania this year. Last year in Moldova, while I was out on the street, I had one lady come up to me and she began to yell at me. I don't speak. They spoke Romanian there. I don't speak Romanian, which is a good thing, I think, at that point. She began to yell at me, and about all I caught out of it was a word, Diablo. Well, I know what Diablo means. And she kept pointing at me and saying Diablo. So I'm pretty sure she was calling me the devil. But we've just found, if you don't understand them, you just say, well, praise the Lord, we're glad you're excited about us being here too. And so I just, as best as possible, tried to ignore it. But she stirred up a ruckus. For about 5 minutes, she just continued to yell at me. Well, I was standing near some street vendors that were a little bit annoyed that I was there because I was distracting the business that was walking down the streets. After she left, several of those vendors came over and had refused to take literature earlier in the day. But they came over to take literature and apologized for how rude the lady was to me. And so the Lord used that lady who was trying to be a distraction from her ministry to be able to be a blessing and encouragement. And then a half hour after that, we had a lady stop over and she grabbed the John Roman, she grabbed the invitation, she began to walk off, she realized what it was, she turned around and came back, and in perfect English she said, thank you very much. My country needs God. She lives in California. All of her family still lives in Moldova. She was coming back to visit family. She took my entire group that was with me that day. She took us over to one of the ice cream shops, bought us ice cream, and thanked us over and over again for being there and passing out the Word of God. And so I challenge you, whether it's with us, actually next year, we've got Amy Reddick that is here in the college. We are going to be going over to Prague next September to do a campaign over in Prague. If you're interested in going on a campaign, that'll be an exciting one in many ways. Prague is not a very receptive town. You will have some excitement, I guarantee it. But if you're interested in going, please see me, let me know, because the trip will fill up fast. When we announce where we're going, usually within just a couple of months, we've got most of the trip filled up. And so if you're interested in going on a campaign, we're going to be in Prague next year. In 2016, we're looking at going to be in Estonia with Brother Mike Smith, who is also, I believe he's a graduate from here. I know he went to school here. And then we're also going to be with another gentleman, Brother Monty Barlow, in Slovenia in 2016. So we'll have two campaigns in 2016, and we've got several of them that have contacted us about 2017 as well already. And so if you're interested in going on a campaign, please see me afterwards. I can get you some information, can keep you updated as to what's going on. But I strongly encourage you to get overseas, get to a mission field, and see what the Lord will do in your heart and in your life. Well, let's get into the Word of God tonight. We're going to look at Philippians chapter 4, beginning in verse number 15. In Philippians chapter 4, beginning in verse 15, it says, "Now ye Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. For even in Thessalonica ye sent once and again unto my necessity, not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account." Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I just pray that you'd bless this service now, Lord. I just pray that you would be with my mouth, be with my thoughts, Lord. Just guide me and direct me through the service. I pray that you'd help me to challenge the people here, Lord, that we would continue on to serve you and to do as much as we possibly can. In your name we pray. Amen. Paul here was talking to the Philippians and encouraging them for what they had already done for him. And I would like to publicly thank Fairhaven Baptist Church for the support they've already been to the Couriers for Christ ministry. They have supported Couriers for several years through my father, and there have actually been some of the graduates that have gone on trips with the Couriers ministry. Some of them have gone on their beginning trips. My mind just went blank. They've gone over on the beginning trips to be able to get started on the field, and we've had the opportunity of being involved in that. And we encourage you to continue to be involved. And the things that you do, whether it be for the Couriers for Christ ministry or whether it be for one of the other missionaries that you have that are either out of your church or that you guys support through your church, the work that you do for them is a part of the results that they get. Paul said, I'm thankful for what you've done, not because it's a blessing to me, not because it's an encouragement to me, but because I desire fruit that may abound to your account. Do you ever feel like the good things that you do go unnoticed? You will do the same thing day in and day out every single day, over and over and over again. And it seems like nobody ever notices. And yet one time you forget the responsibility. One time you forget to take out the trash. One time you forget to mop the floors. One time you forget to whatever it is. And there's about 15 people there waiting to point it out. Now, I'm sure nobody else has ever experienced that. But it just seems like everybody's ready to show the faults that you've done, the things that you've missed, but don't always take the time to praise you for the good things that you've done. Now, we shouldn't be doing things for the praise of men. The Bible says that when we've completed our day, when we've done all that we are supposed to do, all we've done is our duty. It's not a great service. And I just want to stand before you here tonight. I'm not a great person. I'm not something amazing. Pastor Ramos is sitting there shaking his head with a great big smile. He knows. You can ask the several of the staff. I'm not anything special. I just desire to do what God wants me to do. And that's what we need. And the great thing about it is it doesn't matter whether man praises me or not, whether they notice the good things that I do, whether they notice the bad things that I do. God's the one that keeps the accounts. And aren't you glad? What we do on the mission field cannot be accomplished without churches like this. If we don't have the financial support of a church like this, our ministry will not be able to continue on. It cost $10,000 to $12,000 to send over a single container. It cost $20,000 to $40,000 to run a single campaign. It takes roughly, on average, 200 John and Romans and invitations being put out to see one visitor. We couldn't do what we did without the support of other churches coming along and partnering with us and going on the campaigns. Currently, there are Don Sturts, Ken Sturts, my dad, myself, and another guy that has joined in the ministry to prepare for Don Sturts, Ken Sturts, and my dad. They're all up in their upper 60s. And someday they're not going to be able to continue on doing all that they do. And so there needs to be a second generation coming along to be able to see the ministry continue on. But even with the five couples that we have, and even if I bring my four children and we bring as many relatives as we can't accomplish what a group from across the United States will be able to accomplish per day. 10 to 12,000 John and Romans, one at a time. It's not taking a box of them, setting them in a business, say, can you please distribute these? It's one at a time, person to person, please take this, please take this. Please. You don't need to know Russian. You don't need to know Romanian. You don't need to know a different language. It's actually almost better if you don't know the language. If someone comes up and says, here, I have something for you, especially if you're walking down the streets of Chicago, you kind of, you know, maybe walk the wide way around. But if someone comes up and speaks to you in a different language, it stops you. It catches you off guard. It surprises you. And you might actually take a second to notice what they have. And so me coming up and saying, hey, how are you today? Can I give you this? They just think I'm some weird American and sure, leave me alone. But it gets it to them. It gets them the opportunity. And we have the interpreters there that are able to work with us. So if someone comes up and has questions, we can direct them over to the interpreter. But none of that can be done without the support of our churches. If you'll turn over in your Bibles to 1 Samuel chapter 30. 1 Samuel chapter 30. We're not going to read the entire story here, but the story is David's been fleeing from Saul. Saul has been trying to take David's life. David's hiding out with the Philistines. He's been going, actually killing those around the Philistines, but saying that he's fighting the Israelites. He's made friends with one of the Philistine kings. The Philistines are getting ready to go in battle against the Israelites. This king invites David along and says, will you fight with us? And David says, okay. As they get ready to go to battle, the other kings say, wait a minute. Do you realize who this is that you've brought into battle with us? Do you realize how many of us he killed to get his wife? I don't know as I want David fighting behind me on my side while we're fighting Saul in front. I don't think this is a good idea. And so they put up a big ruckus, and so David gets to get sent home. But as he returns home to Ziklag, he finds that their city has been plundered. Everything's been taken. Everything's been destroyed. Their family, their livestock, everything is gone. They've been marching for several days. They've been in battles. They've been going on about, and they come home to nothing. And so they decide to follow after and try and get back what is theirs. As they get to a certain point, some of the men have just had too much. It was more than they could handle. And so David says, why don't you guys stay behind and watch what little bit that we have left? Myself and the rest of the men, we will continue on and see if God brings a victory. Hopefully you know the story, but God brings a miraculous victory. They regain all that they lost and extra. As they get back to the brook, they're returning back, and some of the men say, these guys didn't go to battle with us. They weren't there in the heat of it. They weren't in the hard times. We'll give them what's theirs, but they don't get any of the extras. They can have their stuff, they can depart, but we're not giving them anything extra. And David responds in verse number 24, says, for who will hearken unto you in this matter? But as his part is that goeth down to the battle, so shall his part be that tarrieth by the stuff. They shall part alike. Everything that you do as a church is towards missions. You may not be a missionary on a foreign field, but you are a missionary where you're at. And as you serve your church, you are having a part in missions, whether it be the local missions of your own home church or whether it be the missionaries that you support across the foreign fields. And it doesn't matter how small your part may seem. Without all the pieces working together, it can't be accomplished. I like to compare it to a military. I talked to a Vietnam veteran, and he was talking about when he would be fighting on the front lines and they would have a supply line supplying them with the goods and the things that they needed. And some of the guys would sometimes come and say, I wish we could be here. I wish we could stay. I wish we could fight with you. And he said, I told him, I don't want you here. If my supply line is cut off, then we will fail. If Fairhaven Baptist Church
fails, missions across the United States will fail. It is your responsibility to raise godly children that will grow up, that will go to college, that will have a desire to get involved in another church, that will have a desire to raise a godly family, and maybe God just might call one of them to be a pastor. Maybe God might just call one of them to be a missionary. But if you fail in your responsibility here in your own home church, I cannot continue doing what I do. If America fails in their responsibility to evangelize the United States, as churches wither, as churches get smaller, it hurts the missionaries. I have called several churches trying to get in, and they've said, I'm just going to be honest with you. We would love to have you in, but right now, we've had to cut all of our missionaries back to half of what we were supporting them for. And our goal is to get them back up to where we were supporting them before we take anybody else on. And we don't see that happening anytime soon. We'd love to have you in, but there's just nothing that we can do for you at this time. Missions relies on the home churches. Just like fighting on a foreign battlefield requires the assistance of the home front and the supply line to win the battle, we rely on the churches. You are in the home front. It doesn't mean you're not in the battle. The battle is all around us. But if we lose the battle at home, we are guaranteed to lose the battle abroad. Now, God has been gracious and God has allowed some churches to be established and they are beginning to grow and they are beginning to flourish. But I don't want to see the day that missionaries are coming to America from another country. God has blessed us with a great nation. God has given us the ability to do for others. We need to take advantage of that. So oftentimes we get caught up in our day-to-day, our basic responsibilities, and we get so busy in the work of what's right in front of us. And I understand that. I worked a full-time job outside of the church. I had church responsibilities. I had everything going on, and it just seemed like there was never time to focus on anything except for what was right in front of me sometimes. And yet it's important that we look beyond what's right here. Jesus said, look unto the fields, for they are white unto harvest. We need to be working. We need to be doing everything that we can. You may not be able to go on a campaign. What the Courier's campaigns, they are not vacation campaigns. It is not just anybody can go. It's a working campaign. We are out on the streets, in the sun, in the heat, passing out literature 7 to 8 hours a day, on your feet, one at a time, moving, carrying backpacks of literatures, carrying boxes of literature. Think, 10 to 12,000 John Romans. We don't have someone, we just grab a bunch of the natives and they'll all carry it for us. You got to carry your own literature. You got to carry a backpack. You got to get a bunch of it, and you got to go out. And then you get into the apartment buildings, and we'll actually go in and we're allowed in some of the countries to be able to put the literature in the mailboxes inviting people out. Well, some of these apartment buildings are 6, 8, 10 stories high, and the mailbox is on each floor. It's not all on the bottom. And so you've got a backpack of literature, and you don't want to get on an elevator. Trust me. I got stuck on an elevator in Russia several years ago, and it was not a fun experience. And most of them don't even have elevators anyways. And so you're jogging up and down these stairs because everything's a competition. You want to get done faster than everybody else and so you can get out the most literature and, the good American way. And so, we're trying to see which group can get out the most literature that day. And so you're hustling, getting as many as you can and trying to meet people and invite them out. It's a working campaign. It's hard. It's difficult. But it's worth it. Everything you do for God is worth it. Vacuuming the auditorium makes a difference. Do you want to come into a church that's littered with trash? Do you want to sit in a pew that you're not sure if it's going to stay there? It's important. It's important to the things that are around us, the things that we see, the things that... Everything that is done is important. And God adds that to your account. You making sure that the vehicles are running so that the bus routes can be done. You going out on the bus routes, inviting kids to come and seeing one child out of 1,000 actually turn out and do something for God makes a difference. And whether you put a dollar in the offering for missions, God will take that dollar and he will multiply it across the mission field and see soul after soul after soul saved. We have passed out literature throughout Eastern Europe and found them as far as South Africa. You don't know where the literature will end up. It's not our responsibility to worry about how they receive it. It's just our job to deliver it as best as we can. Pastor Dameron can't determine what you do with the message that he preaches. He can do everything that he can to try and persuade you, but ultimately, at the end of the day, you're the one that has to make a decision when God deals with you. Am I going to follow through with that? I can do everything that I want to try and convince that lost soul that they need to be saved, but I am not responsible for them rejecting or accepting Christ. I can only give it to them and pray that the Lord works on their heart. It is important that we do our part. Turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. verses 6 through 10 talks to this point. In verse number 6 it says, I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one, and every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. For we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry, ye are God's building. According to the grace of God, which is given unto me, as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. Young people, your parents, your church, this college has laid a foundation. But it's unfortunate to say, I know several people that had the same foundation laid in their lives that blew their opportunity. That have destroyed all the good that their parents, that their church, and this college has tried to do. We are not responsible for the choices and decisions that you make in your life. You have to choose whether you're going to do right, whether you're going to follow God, whether you're going to make a difference. You don't have to be a missionary to make a difference. You don't have to be a pastor to make a difference. I think that you are just as called to working in a factory as I am called to being a missionary. You can be just as out of God's will by being a missionary when you're not supposed to be than you can be working in a factory when you're supposed to be a missionary. You need to know exactly what God has called you to do and do it. If God has called you to be a part of missions in a small way or in a great way, I applaud you. I encourage you. I want you to be involved. I want you to help out. But sometimes God calls us to be a missionary in a factory, in an office building. There are people that you can reach, that you can touch, that other people will never have the opportunity to. Pastor Dameron might knock on their door, but they may not want to talk to him. There was a guy that I worked with for several years, and he was an atheist. Didn't want anything to do with God. Anybody would try to witness to him, and he would just shut him down. But him and I became friends. And I was able to sit down for over a half hour one day and give him the scripture, give him the gospel, give him several pieces of literature to take home and start reading. And I was able to plant a seed. Now, unfortunately, to this day, he's not yet saved. But I'm getting ready to head back out to New York later on this year, and he's already told me, when you get in the area, I want to get together with you. I want to talk. I'm praying that God will allow that seed to continue to flourish and that we might actually see a soul saved through it. But nobody else could reach him except for me. If I ignore my responsibility right here, right in front of me, souls will die and go to hell. So I challenge you. What is your part? Ezekiel 22:30 says, "And I sought for a man among them to stand in the gap for the land that I should not destroy it. And I found none." God's looking for one person that's willing to stand up for a nation that he should not destroy it. What has God called you to do? What is your responsibility in the work? Find it, know it, and do it. I've desired to be in missions my entire life. God did not call me until about 2 years ago. I would have been wrong being a missionary. You can be out of the will of God being a missionary? Yes, you can. Ask any missionary, former missionary, they've met several of them. It's important that you know exactly what God wants you to do. Whether it be working in the factory, working construction, working in the office, working wherever it is, just do what God wants you to do. If you bow your heads and close your eyes, we'll have the invitation time. As the pianists and organists come, what has God dealt with you on? What is it that God wants you to be doing? Dear Heavenly Father,